From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Tomorrow, the Living Traditions Festival starts here at Library Square and at the City and County Building. This three-day annual festival helps to celebrate different cultures and ethnicities that help to make up Utah's population. Joining me today is Jesse Schaefer with the Salt Lake City Arts Council. We'll be talking about the performers, the food, and the arts and craft vendors who will be here sharing their heritage, sharing their history with the people of Salt Lake City.
You know, they have a chance to come down and perform for people, show the crafts they do, and as well as, you know, cook and display some amazing food for everyone to sample. Varying from Swiss fare to Peruvian to Tongan to Sudanese to Bosnian, just really all around the map.
All of that after this news from the BBC. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, and my friend, Jesse Schaefer, is joining me today. Jesse is putting on a little program that starts tomorrow. Jesse, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. Yeah, very exciting.
It's really good. So let's talk a little bit about Living Traditions.
This is absolutely
an important event happening at Library Square and the City and County Building starting tomorrow. Been going on for a long time. To start out with, what is the Living Traditions Festival?
Well, you know, really in a basic sense, the Living Traditions Festival is just the celebration of our community, the diversity of it. It's great for, and I think both the artists and crafts that we have for everyone to see here at the festival from the various groups in the community, but also I think from the audience, you know, are just a great way for everyone to come down and have a great weekend and just see what Salt Lake has to offer culturally.
What are some of the components? You mentioned arts and crafts.
Yes, well, we have three stages. So we have, performing artists. That's throughout the whole duration of the festival, mostly local groups, as well as a few headline touring acts we have coming in. We also have a variety of crafts, demonstrators, as well as sales that go on, and that's really exciting. And probably one of the biggest things we have are the food booths that we have. So,
I will be honest with you, the food booths are sort of my favorite. It's a really cool way to sample so many different kinds of ethnic foods, and it really is kind of a multicultural event. I mean, if Salt Lake
absolutely
City
it is.
Has a multicultural event, it's this, where you're celebrating all kinds of different ethnicities, all kinds of different cultures of people who have chosen to make their lives here in Salt Lake City, but who still have a perspective or a point of view from their culture, from where they've come from.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better. You know, it's really exciting that we have the platform essentially to give a lot of these organizations within the community who are celebrating their cultures and their ethnic and folk arts. And, you know, they have a chance to come down and perform for people, show the crafts they do, and as well as, you know, cook and display some amazing food for everyone to sample. So
how many food vendors?
We have 21 this year.
Okay.
So 21 various, and, you know, it's varying from Swiss fare to Peruvian to Tongan to Sudanese to Bosnian, just really all around the map. So we're really excited. And a lot of these organizations, you know, you'll never really try their food. It's not that they don't have catering companies or restaurants, so it's
right.
Really a special place to come down and be able to try their fare.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you can easily find Italian food, for instance, or
sure.
Chinese or sushi from Japan, but this is really a great place to try stuff from a lot of countries that aren't normally represented in Salt Lake City's restaurant or catering culinary mix.
And that's exactly what's so exciting about it. It really is, you know, kind of the only festival of its kind that has this display for everyone to come down and try. So yeah, we're really excited to give them a chance to come down, and they're really excited for it also. It goes back to the proceeds for the food vendors goes back to support their individual organizations and performing arts funding within their community.
So the people who come down and at least sell the food, usually nonprofit associations.
That's correct. They're all nonprofits.
Ethnic organizations,
yes,
throughout our community. And this has been going on for quite some time, the Living Traditions Festival. This is
the 28th year.
28, wow.
And since 1993 here at the City and County Building. So, yeah, it's had a run for sure. And, you know, we're excited to keep it going. And it's a little bit of new every year we try to look at it. But it's, you know, a lot of the same, which is, I think, very exciting as people that they know what they're going to expect. But also just a few new groups and things we have. So.
Yeah, there's always a nice balance. I know at the Alliance we produce events as well, and, you know, farmer's market is a good example. People have
Absolutely.
An expectation of what to expect at the farmer's market, but if it's always just exactly the same, it's not very exciting.
Exactly. So yeah, it's fun to have just a few new pieces for people to, you know, be excited about specifically, but overall there's a comfort to it, which is I think we really love about Living Traditions.
Sure. So what are the new elements that people can expect this year?
Well, the new elements we have, I think one of the bigger things we have is a new stage, which is on the west side of the building, and we added that this year to support just the amazing amount of local performing groups that we had inquire about performing for the festival. And so we have over 30 new local performing groups being a part of the festival, from about 80 that we have this year. So there's a lot of new groups, which is really, really exciting to see that the community is really strong and vibrant. So
and excited to show off their culture, their history, the elements that make, you know, whatever their ethnic background or nationality or wherever people may have come from.
It is. And, you know, a lot of these groups, too, have been a part of the festival since its inception, and which is great to see. On the stage, you'll see a grandmother and her grandchildren, too, dancing. So it's incorporating the new generations and respecting and continuing the traditions, which is a really special part of this, for
great.
Sure.
So it starts tomorrow.
It does. Tomorrow at 5 p.m., Friday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m.,
okay.
Saturday, noon to 10 p.m., and Sunday, noon to 7 p.m.
Nice. So a nice three-day weekend.
Nice three-day weekend, and most importantly, it's free admission. So free,
yeah, that's always a plus.
Always a plus, for sure. So yeah.
You pick, I think, the best season also to do. I know May can be a little bit sketchy. This year's been a little bit cold in May, but normally people can expect some really beautiful weather to be in the urban center, having this fantastic multicultural.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
It is. You know, it's the first big kickoff for the summer event season here in Salt Lake City. Come downtown and, you know, hopefully fantastic weather weekend and just fun to get out, you know, kick off the shoes and get the sandals out and come down and have a great time.
Yeah. Well, and it's you know, I think for a lot of people, there are many festivals that happen here at Library Square or at the City and County Building. Arts Festival is one, Pride is one, where it's really about kind of building community, where you're down here, you know, maybe having a beer or another beverage of your choice.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just enjoying music, food, other things that you can't really get any other weekend. It's very unique to this specific experience and these specific performers and food vendors.
It really is. And that's, you know, I think one of the exciting things is, obviously, other than being the first kind of big festival of the downtown, the summer season, is it really is, you know, the only kind of festival of its type throughout the state. The size of it, the cultural celebration, we have so many groups involved from not only Salt Lake City, but also, you know, Utah as a whole, which we're really excited to, you know, give them the chance. And it really is a special thing. So.
Well, and really, it's, I think, appropriate that in the capital city, we're able to host this. That's one of the things that defines downtown and defines the capital city, is really embracing diversity, embracing a multitude of people's perspectives and histories, and that's what creates a vibrant capital city. So
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's a really important part of it, and we're excited to be Salt Lake City and celebrate just the city as a whole and its diversity and just the great people that we have living here and everyone coming together and having a great time.
Yeah. I was going to ask, why do we do this? I mean, what's the reason that the Arts Council, we should say it's produced every year by the Salt Lake City Arts Council.
That is correct.
What's the reason that the Arts Council cares about this event or wants to produce a living tradition or a multicultural or a sort of an inclusive festival like this?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. You know, I think number one is just recognizing the individual groups and people in history that are in the city, the communities, and giving them the chance, the opportunity. Like I said, a lot of these organizations don't really perform elsewhere or have food available anywhere else. So it's really giving them that opportunity to come together, supporting them as well, is giving them the chance to have this platform and a festival where they can kind of show their history and their culture. You know, as the Arts Council overall, we're excited and happy to essentially, you know, promote the city through the arts. And that's what, you know, Salt Lake City is such a vibrant place. And we are here through our programming in the arts to show that.
So. Well, and you do lots of different kinds of art programming from...
We do.
Fine art, you know...
We have a gallery, the Finch Lane Gallery, which has amazing exhibitions throughout the year. We have a number of summer programs, obviously, with Living Traditions Festival, Twilight Concert Series, and as well as the Brown Bag Concert Series.
Yeah, you do public art as well with
public art program, and all the track stations and at various points throughout the city is a really a great program. So yeah, we kind of a little bit of everything. So it's really fun.
But this really underscores, to me anyway, sort of the folk arts and you know, the idea that in a lot of ways we're all artists. We all have traditions in our families or our
absolutely.
Cultures that we come from. You know, I think about things that my pioneer grandma did that's very unique to Utah and to the Utah culture that I guess some people wouldn't say that's art, and yet really it does add to the culture. It adds to the way that we live and the way that we think about things.
Of course.
And this is really a celebration of that with the living
this
traditions.
Is. And yeah, you're right. It's all art. You know, I think the art isn't necessarily something visual or musical. It's, you know, the culture is art. Everything that we were learning from our, you know, from our past and from our parents and from our grandparents and where they came from. It's just, you know, it's really important to be aware of that and to celebrate that in, you know, in a fun way, obviously, and continue, you know, the young generations and recognizing that and bring it to them as well. So it's really fun, a lot of fun, to say the least. So.
How many people do you expect?
You know, we depend, obviously the weather is a large part of that, but we, you know, over the weekend generally average about 30,000 people. So, you know, spaced throughout that. So it's, you know, once again, I think the accessibility of the festival, not only from its, you know, the free admission, but it's just a really mellow, just a relaxing place. I mean, at the same time, we have a lot of programming, so there's a lot going on, but it's just a really relaxing, good place to hang out. You know, it's nothing too intense, and it's a great place. And so, we're hoping for another great weekend.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. We're going to take a quick break for some messages. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the headliners who will be performing at the Living Traditions Festival, and we'll continue the conversation about the role that art and cultural diversity play in a dynamic community like downtown Salt Lake City. We'll be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. And joining me today, my friend, Jesse Schaefer, with the Salt Lake City Arts Council. Jesse is in charge of lots of things at the Arts Council these days. He has been very instrumental in putting together the Twilight Concert Series. We're very excited about the lineup that was announced this week. You and the mayor had a fun video announcement as part of that. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, that's correct. We did. That was a pretty fun project for sure. Yeah,
it's great to have that connection. Today we're talking about the Living Traditions Festival that starts tomorrow at Library Square and the City and County Building. And Jesse, maybe just remind people again what the hours are for the festival.
Yeah, sure. It is. So we have Friday evening from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday noon to 10 p.m. and Sunday noon to 7 p.m.
are
hours.
And it's expensive to get in.
It is, you know, free to get in. It's tough. So, you know, if that's going to be that little thing that puts it over the edge, then we hope so. Come on down.
So free admission, expecting about 30,000 people to celebrate cultural diversity, wide range of ethnic foods, ethnic crafts, art, and then performances. And you've actually, it sounds like, increased the performances by about 30% this year by adding a third stage.
That we have, absolutely. And, you know, really excited once again, I think, and a little bit of everything from these new performing artists that we have coming in. And it's going to make the whole just festival that much more vibrant with that extra stage and just kind of around the clock during our hours programming going on. So a little bit of everything.
It's a great festival for kids too, I think, because it is so
vibrant.
It
is. It absolutely is.
The performances are really approachable. Kids, you know, it's a great time to be outside with kids anyway, and they get to try new foods. My son loves trying new foods. He's not a picky eater at all.
that's good to hear.
So he comes down. He has the Somalian.
Oh yeah, one of my personal favorites.
The Peruvian.
Yeah.
Peruvian. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, the Basque, the churros. I'm sure are a favorite.
Everybody
you know,
likes
all
churros.
The kids. How can you not?
Yeah, how can you not like churros? You've got some headliners that you're planning. Maybe
we do.
We could spend a little bit of time letting people know who are the headliners, because you've got some national acts. It's not just about local. You also bring in some national acts for this as well.
Yep, that is true. We have really excited for some of our headline artists we have coming in. We have Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. is Red Barat, and they are a group out of Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
And they have a really just a really interesting, fun sound, and it takes from a traditional Bhangra wedding procession music, which is from North India, and okay. It's kind of a traditional, they use a dole, which is the dole drum, and as kind of its lead rhythm, and they have a huge horn section behind them that leads, and it just mixes with some New Orleans funk and jazz and kind of go-go, and it's just really the ultimate party music. There's so much fun. I think it's going to be a perfect way to get things started on Friday night.
Excellent. So Friday at 8:30?
Yes, Friday 8:30 until 10 p.m.
Okay.
And they'll definitely, you know, just kind of take that start and set it off in the right way. So we're really excited for that.
Excellent.
And we do, unfortunately, we had a cancellation for our Saturday night artist, which was A Tribe Called Red, but they had to pull out for some personal reasons, unfortunately.
Okay.
However, we've, you know, I think we're still doing a great job in moving around some of our scheduling. And we have, we've moved the Ballet Folklorico and Sol de Jalisco Mariachi Band that will take the stage at 9 p.m. on Saturday night. And they're just an amazing local mariachi and dance group that has a huge crowd. So I think it's going to be a great replacement for that. So.
And then additional programming on Sunday.
Yes, correct. And Sunday afternoon, our last kind of headline artist to kick off that North stage will be at 5:30 p.m. We have a band called Quetzal, and they were out of Los Angeles. They're Grammy Award-winning Latino roots rock, kind of fusion Brazilian and Cuban music, and they're just, you know, a really great instrumental group out of East LA, have been for many years, like I said, Grammy Award-winning, so they're recognized on many levels, and they're, you know, really a socially instrumental group in kind of the Latino issues of East LA throughout the history. So yeah,
nice.
Really excited.
So there probably are not a lot of places in our community, or you know, really in the Western United States, maybe even in the United States more generally, where you could be, you know, eating some Basque food, listening to a Cuban band, and then go back
exactly.
for a little dessert from, you know, a completely different culture. Who are the?
There's just so much. Yeah, literally, you can do all those things at once, and then some. So
yeah.
The choices are really endless. Yeah.
Who are some of the longest running performing groups that you have? The local performers who have come back, who seem to be sort of mainstays for the festival.
You know, that's a good question. You know, we have a handful. I know the Swiss Chorus Edelweiss has been around for, I believe, since its inception in 1986. As well as the Native American powwow group
right.
that we have, the intertribal tribal powwow, which is Sunday afternoon, and that's just, I think, one of the highlights of the weekend. You know, for many reasons, it's just such a great sense of just the intertribal, the community coming together, and they've been around for many, many years. We also have the Chris Dokos band and a few of the local Greek performers, and you know, a few of those that are off the top of my head not ringing a bell, but
sure.
Like I said, there's at least a handful have been with us for that duration, and like I said, it's really important, that partnership we have with them, and it's really great.
How do you make a decision about who to profile, who to focus on? What are the criteria you use to bring this multicultural Lollapalooza together?
Well, one thing is actually I want to point out is that we have two amazing folklorists, Carol Edison and Craig Miller, who mm-hmm. Carol programs our craft artist, and she has a really close-knit tie with the community for many years, and as well as Craig Miller programs our performing artists, and
okay.
just once again has a really great relationship with a lot of these groups over the years, and so essentially, you know, he is, you know, in contact with these groups year-round, and really, I think a big part of it is those groups that are, you know, on their own perform and do performances at other festivals, which are, some of them are established, but there's quite a few that are, you know, they're really their only performances of the year here at Living Tradition. So
right.
I think it's the encouragement for them, knowing that they have our support, and gives them a reason to come back. And you know, it's really a great thing to be that support and continue that with these community groups. And like I said, Craig and Carol are really instrumental in helping us program these.
Well, and there are some, you know, some groups like the Greek festival, or there's a Brazilian festival, or there's a group of
Absolutely.
Italian folks. So there, mm-hmm. you know, through the year, the Japanese festivals.
The Japanese festival.
Yeah, the Oban
right.
festival mm-hmm. Or the Nihon Matsuri festival. So there are some chances where you can go and be really immersed. But as you said, there are some organizations or some folks who maybe are not as large in terms of population locally, or maybe don't have sort of the backing or the organizational structure to produce their own festival.
Absolutely.
This provides that opportunity.
And that's where we step in, really. I think, you know, the stage is there, so to speak. You know, we're just kind of giving them that that stage and that platform to come and perform and give them their best and let everyone, you know, from the community be exposed to them. So I think it's really exciting to be able to support that.
Well, and you're accessible in a lot of ways. You're accessible to these groups. You're also accessible to the public because it's free.
Absolutely. You know, and I think too is to me individually, I really love the fact how just the community comes down and our the people attending the concerts, I'm sorry, the festival overall are just so, you know, it's as diverse as the, you know, the artists that are on stage and the crafts and the food. And so it's just, you know, from both sides, it's really a great kind of mingling of everyone together.
Yeah,
so.
People really, really do love this festival. Where can people go to find out more information?
Well, of course, they can visit our website, which is livingtraditionsfestival.com. And for the most updated scheduling, like I said, we had a few pieces that have been changing with our performing arts stages. But they can always go there for all festival information, hours, and just specifics on the craft vendors, performing artists, food vendors, things like that.
So you can kind of map out your strategy.
Exactly. Yeah. And we also have a Facebook page, which is Living Traditions Festival. So
you can like that out too.
Like that and, yeah, share that would be great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Planning ahead is important.
Yeah, you know, it usually helps.
I think. Well, the thing is you don't want to waste a calorie. I mean, you know, there are so many
exactly.
options. You said 21 food vendors.
21 food vendors, correct.
So,
yes.
You know, it would be difficult to eat 21 items of food. I'm a big eater. It would be hard for me to eat 21 items.
It's a little tough, but I think you can at least knock a couple of those off the list.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. And you want to kind of strategize about how
sure.
you're going to spend your time, what food you're going to eat, how long you're going to be there. People can come every day, though.
Yeah, come every day, and you know, just kind of space out your entire weekend, and hopefully you can join us for the entire time. So.
Yeah, great. Well, Jesse, I just want to say thanks for your work in putting this festival together. I know it's a big undertaking. It's difficult to pull off a free festival with dozens of performers, lots of food vendors, lots of craft vendors. The Arts Council plays such an important role in creating this dynamic and diverse downtown community. And we really think of you guys as fantastic partners.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jason. I really appreciate your support overall and for having me here today and discussing the festival coming this weekend. And yeah, appreciate it.
So plan on the festival this weekend?
Yep, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And come on down. Hopefully the weather is great and it's going to be fun for the family and for everyone.
And so. We'll look forward to even more from the Arts Council as the Twilight Concert Series launches later this summer, and the flying objects are going to be reinstated a little bit later. Great stuff going on. You guys are always doing a great job for the Urban Center, so thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we talk about the people, places, and events helping to shape Utah's Urban Center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis.